am I being purposeful with that time? Right. And so I started getting up early. It's not going to be perfect in the beginning, right? Mine is still not perfect. It's changed many times. You just have to be willing to give it some effort and then be willing to change as well and to improve it as you go, right? Done is better than perfect.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, I'm so excited to announce our renowned guest, Whitney Sewell. Whitney, thanks so much for being on.
My pleasure. Happy to be here.
Awesome. So everyone, Whitney's podcast was one of the very first podcasts that I listened to when I was getting into the private placement syndication space. And I'm just super honored to have him on because he's an incredible resource to many people that want to learn about this business, either from the active side or the passive side. So without further ado, Whitney Sewell is a seasoned real estate investor, podcast host, philanthropist, and founder of Life Bridge Capital. Whitney has acquired 900 doors and $150 million in assets under management and interviewed over 1,000 experts on his podcast, The Real Estate Syndication Show. Whitney was able to scale his business at a groundbreaking pace, starting from nothing in 2017 to now consistently raising over $10 million in a few hours. Well, that is certainly an amazing, incredible accomplishment, Whitney. So excited to have your expertise here on the show. Why don't we get started with a little bit about your background and the how and why that you got into real estate?
Yeah, no, happy to be here and happy to tell that story, and feel free to ask any questions as I go. But I go back to 2001, and I say March of 2001, because that is when I joined the military. And that was also just a few months before our nation was attacked. And, you know, I had no idea, obviously, that was going to happen, but I did. I found myself quickly spending a year in Iraq and, you know, away from family, of course, but unfortunately, not everyone in my squad made it home. But I'm very thankful, you know, to have made it home. And, you know, what I say, the military taught me, though, to have a never give up mentality. And it's just not an option to give up, you know, when you're in combat and other people are depending on you. And I say entrepreneurship is very similar to that. It's just, you know, you have to have the mindset. It's not an option to give up. It's not always easy, that's for sure. But, you know, that helps me to put things in perspective, though, often when I think back about, you know, my time overseas. But I came home and I quickly was trying to figure out what I was going to do as a career. I was not raised around entrepreneurs or real estate investors. I didn't even know this was a thing, you know, at that time. No one in my family had ever really done any kind of investing, I mean, at any amount. So I quickly became a police officer. Out of 1,200 applicants, there were 5 positions, and I was blessed to have one of those with Kentucky State Police. I loved the uniform, the structure, the discipline, the service, you know, of being a police officer. About a year in, I got married. And then a year later, my wife and I just passed each other in the hallway that whole year. And so finally, it hit me and my wife that, you know what, this is just...
Was that because you were working...
That's right.
...such long or different hours than she was away?
That's right. Just crazy schedule. Every night, weekend, and holiday, you know, and making, you know, $30,000-$35,000 a year, maybe 40 if I work all the overtime I possibly can, you know? Yeah. So finally we were like, okay, this is just not what's best. I would have almost done it for free the first year or so. I did enjoy it, but it was finally like, okay, this is not what's going to, you know, going to support us for very long. And so I started looking. I then became, actually during that time, I did learn about real estate. I was exposed to either Rich Dad Poor Dad or something like that, that kind of opened my eyes to, you know, it's not like only one or two people have built wealth in real estate. I mean, millions of people have built wealth in real estate. And I was like, okay, if all of them can do it, then I can do it too. And so this was 2009. I bought two triplexes. Somehow the bank loaned us the money for those. But I don't even know why, thinking back, but they did. And we learned a lot. We learned a lot the hard way, honestly. I mean, it was quite stressful. I was self-managing. I was a police officer still. We were living in a house that I was remodeling at the same time. My poor wife was doing dishes in the tub, which I'm not too proud of. But, you know, as I was trying to remodel the house, but so high stress time, right? And trying to think about, you know, how I'm going to supplement our income. And we pushed and got real estate, you know, got some couple triplexes. So I soon also became a federal agent, and that moved us to Virginia, where we live now. And so I was a federal agent for 9.5 years or so. During that time, I kept pushing the real estate business. I was actually a professional horse trainer at the same time as well. That seems like so far out in left field, right, to most. But
wait, so you were a professional horse trainer and a federal agent simultaneously?
That's right. I was.
I didn't know that part.
Yeah. And most people don't, but it was a passion of mine since I was a little boy.
Yeah.
And I was finally doing it at a very high level. I was selling horses for more money than I ever imagined. I was doing clinics all over the country, teaching hundreds of people at a time, you know, with horsemanship skills, really building a brand and a name in that industry. And you know what? Finally, I was doing that. I would be in the arena till most nights, you know, while still working as a federal agent. I also had a 15-unit apartment building at this time. So I was kind of doing all these things. And my family and my wife and I were at the beach one fall. And we were just talking about, hey, where are we going? Where do we see ourselves, you know, 3 years from now, 5 years from now? Do I really expect myself to be able to keep this pace up? And is it even worth it? Right. I mean, I was missing all that time with my wife, all that time with our two boys then, Samuel and Elijah. And finally, it's like, okay, it's just not, we're not able to keep doing this forever. And it's not even worth it because I'm just not there. Right. And so finally, we just said, you know what? We got to make a change. And we did. And we cut everything off except for commercial estate. We knew that was going to be the means to be, to have passive income and to build wealth. We knew the horse training. I could build wealth probably in horse training because I was making really good money, believe it or not. However, it was always going to require me to be there, right? And it was always going to require 80 hours a week from me, most likely. And so I knew that just wasn't what was best again. And so believe it or not, my wife and I had the farm and the house we had always dreamed of, but we sold it. Mm-hmm. We sold everything. And we were pursuing our third adoption as well. And so, you know, which is also going to cost us a lot. We wanted to be prepared for that. So we sold the farm, we downsized in a big way, moved to town. I built an office in a corner of our basement. And that's where the podcast was born. And that's where Lifebridge Capital was born. But it took that level of dedication and focus, even selling the farm. That's where we had dreamed to be. But we knew if we just cut that off completely, I mean, we're going to be that much more focused and determined to make it happen and not be distracted. And that's ultimately what we did. Started the daily podcast. You know, like you and I have discussed, you know, there was days I was doing 12 to 15 shows a day while still being a federal agent, you know, starting to do deals, investor relations, all those things, traveling like twice a month all over the country to different conferences, networking as hard as I can go. And then numerous things happened to help us scale then, you know, first deal. Yes, we raised $250,000, I think, over numerous weeks. And then, you know, and that was from connections out of conferences. And then finally, you know, we put other things in place. But, you know, now we can, yes, I'm grateful and blessed to be able to raise $10 million in a few hours consistently. So, but that didn't happen overnight, to say the least.
Yeah, you put in a lot of time and effort and work and blood, sweat, and tears. So that's an amazing story. And I definitely want to dive into that. I did know that you were a horse trainer, but I didn't know that you were doing that while you were also doing a federal agent. But back to another question, I also wanted to know, this is not something I hear you talk about much. Why are you guys passionate about adoption and how did you get into that?
Yeah, I appreciate the question. You know, when we moved to Virginia, my wife and I, we had never been exposed to adoption. We had never been, we grew up in a town that had one stoplight. I don't even know if I knew it, even heard of anybody that had been adopted. Very few people in this town. And so when we moved to Virginia, we were listening to a pastor talk about how they had adopted. There were over 150 million orphans in the world and how it can cost $40,000 to $60,000 to bring a child home through adoption typically. And so we didn't know that. But on our way home, all we could ask ourselves was, why would we not adopt? Like, we couldn't think of a good reason why we wouldn't do that. It seemed that simple, right? And so within a week, we turned in our application to adopt from Ethiopia. And then 2 years to the month, our first son, Samuel, came home through adoption. And then a year later, our second son, or even shorter, maybe like 10 months, our second son, Elijah, came home through adoption. And now we also have a daughter, Eden Joy, who's almost two, who came to our family through adoption. But those struggles, like the first couple specifically. I mean, it was just very difficult financially, right? I mean, the Lord provided over $38,000 for our second one just through fundraising. We did lots of fundraising. Just very difficult, you know, to afford the process. But it's not the children's fault, to say the least. It is not their fault. And so, you know, I still encourage families to pursue adoption, you know, and
yeah.
But that, what happens is we talk to many families now who say, Whitney, that's more than I make in a year, right? That's, we can't, how can we afford to do that, right? Who, but they would still be great parents.
Yeah.
And so that's where the LifeBridge Foundation, the foundation we started, will come along beside them and say, hey, we're, you know, we're going to help you in a big way if you'll commit, you know, to bringing that child home. Yeah. So, I mean, there's tons of amazing stories behind each child and how, you know, they came to our family, but that's what's behind, you know, the why, the mission behind LifeBridge Capital.
For sure. And I just think that's so beautiful and really an inspiring mission. I wanted to just touch on something, which I don't know if a lot of people ask you this, because some level it might be like common sense, but when you ask yourself, why wouldn't we adopt? In my mind, at least coming from certain environments that I'm in, one reason people might say not to adopt is because then you don't necessarily have like that biological passing on of yours and your wife's genes. And I'm just curious, like how you guys think about that.
I think our relationship is much deeper than blood, you know, with our children. I don't think it's,
sure.
Yeah, it's almost irrelevant. Yeah. I mean, my love for my children is no different than if they had been biological. I mean, we chose them, right? I mean, not, you know, specifically, but we chose to adopt. And I don't think it's not any less, you know, by any means, you know, because of who they are, because of adoption versus biological.
Yeah, for sure. Totally. I mean, I'm 100% understand that perspective. I don't think that everyone, you know, necessarily sees it that way, which I, you know, find a little bit confounding. So I just wanted to get your take on that.
Sure.
Yeah. In any case, so let's talk about your incredible path to growing so quickly. Can you just dive? I mean, obviously you've given us an overview. Can you dive into like how you did it?
Yeah. So there, I mean, there's so many things there, right? But one of the big things, which you already know, is starting a daily podcast. That has allowed me to scale very fast because it's directly related to the size of my network, right? And how fast I can, you know, grew my network. And so instead of growing, you know, one interview a week or one guest per week, that one connection, you know, I'm growing at 7 per week, right? And so there's days I was doing 12 to 15 shows in a day. And I would also add, when you're doing that many shows, you can get really caught up in just the next interview, the next interview, the next interview. But I would always allow, say, 10 or 15 minutes. And that doesn't even seem like much, but I would allow that time between shows just so I could connect with the guests. Right. And that is so important. It's so important. There's been so much I've learned from guests. And that's another thing, just the education component, right? As you learn this business and you're interviewing experts, well, guess what? You're probably talking to people that know the answers to the issues that you're facing in your business right now, right? You are talking to people who have gone before you. So guess what questions I would ask, you know? I mean, I'm going to talk to them and ask them questions somehow about things I'm dealing with in my business, most likely, no matter what it was at the time. They have probably been there. That's allowed me to move very fast. It also just gave me instant credibility. I mean, just rapid credibility because of how many people I've spoken to, right? How many people I, you know, the investors have seen me with on a day-to-day basis every day. So I have investor calls often, and investors will say, oh, you know, I feel like I already know you because I hear your voice every day at the gym or every morning as I'm walking my dog. I feel like I just already know you, right? And that's like, there's a value there you just can't even put a number on, right? You know, but that's what the podcast has done. It has allowed us to grow very fast. It's allowed me to get in front of lots of people. It's allowed me to speak at very big stages now. I mean, just this past weekend, I spoke in front of many, many hundreds of people at a conference, and it was about our mission and our why, but the importance of having a mission connected to your business. And I also, just to connect that now, I didn't plan that way. But what I started seeing happening is I would go to conferences, and I would start networking as hard as I could go. I'm meeting as many people. Think about this. If you're at a conference and there's 20 people there, especially 100 or 200 people there, and you're talking to all these people, and everybody's talking about real estate, how many people are you going to remember? You know, especially a week later or a month later, like you're just not, right? But however, that's right. However, somebody'd say, Whitney, what do you do? And I'd say, well, we have a foundation that helps families with that financial burden of adoption, of bringing their child home through adoption. And we do that through commercial real estate. Our investors get to participate and make an amazing return while also helping us save children. And it doesn't affect their returns at all. And guess what? Like, that's all I have to say. And all of a sudden, they're asking lots of questions, but they are then focused on my mission, right? Well, they say, wait a minute, tell me how you do that. How's that connected or whatever, right? But then our focus is on something very different than they've talked to about anybody else at that conference, right?
Yeah.
And so then all of a sudden they remember who I am. I could follow up a week later and they know who Whitney is. So again, I didn't plan it that way, but I started seeing it happen. And then I'm like, okay, well that, you know, this is making sense. Right. And so that I think has helped set me apart. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously we've committed half of our personal profits, you know, to this foundation. And so that also sets us apart. And it doesn't affect investor returns, but guess what? People want to be a part of something bigger than just money. Right. Believe it or not, whether they think they do or not, they still love that there's additional components, some way that they're giving back, even if they're not having to give back monetarily. Right. And it's something they sense that passion in me, and then they can get behind that passion. And believe it or not, there's a connection then that's made that's a lot deeper than just if you were talking about business. Right. And then they're even passionate about your success.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think that makes so much sense. And I really like the way you broke that down. And it is really important to have a mission in this business. I mean, not just to stand out, although that's another benefit, but to keep the drive going, right? So that you get up every day motivated and excited to continue to push on, because it's not always easy. As you said, like we have to have this failure, or not failure, but quitting isn't an option, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So thanks for giving us like a window into how you grew so quickly. What are the types of assets that you like to invest in right now?
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, lux-cap.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Yeah, so we are strictly multifamily at the moment. I see us probably growing into some other asset classes in the near future, but we have been strictly multifamily, and it's been all, you know, what we all know is value add type projects. And when I say value add, I mean, we're remodeling the units. You know, we may put say 4,000 to 7,000, sometimes 10,000 in per unit to remodel. And that would be exterior renovations as well, but on a per unit cost basis, you know, something like that, you know, raising those rents, right? Or getting them up to market. Maybe they've been mismanaged. Often it's, you know, management issues that we're correcting and fixing in a big way. And that's again through great or amazing partnerships with, you know, with management teams and people on the ground, but all multifamily and all in Colorado and Idaho at the moment.
Mm-hmm. All in where?
Colorado and Idaho.
Okay.
And we're also doing some Class A and development now as well.
Okay. Class A development. Interesting. So are you based in the kind of Western states?
I personally live in Virginia, but all of our properties are in the West.
Interesting. Okay, great. And so you focus on that kind of value add, but you said you're expanding into Class A. Is that right?
That's right. So we purchased a Class A project in August of last year, and we also have two projects that are being developed as we speak.
Okay, great. And what kind of motivated you to go in that direction?
Into Class A?
Yeah. And development.
It was just a phenomenal deal in a phenomenal market.
Okay.
We had been focused on, you know, like C+, B- type assets.
Yeah.
But this deal came across and we had a great connection. And I mean, we bought it in August and it's already meeting our third year projections, and it's a Class A project. So just amazing market demographics, just an amazing deal. And we jumped on it.
Yeah. So you felt like I'm wondering, did you feel like the risk that, you know, people sometimes associate it with Class A, which, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can look at it, were just mitigated because the market was so strong?
Yeah. The market is so strong. We had like a 47% break-even occupancy. And yeah, I mean, like I said, it's already meeting our third year projections. So if we had to come way down on rents, we could. Yeah. And we're still meeting our preferred returns and, you know, all this, paying all our bills, all those things.
Cool. And what about development? Because that also is like it's a bit of a departure from the value add space in terms of like taking on, well, construction risk and entitlement risk, et cetera.
Yeah. So that's a great question, but that is still all about partnerships, all about your team. And so we've partnered with a couple developers who, you know, they've been developing for 20 to 30 years in this market. And so, and actually we're partnering after the titling, after all that stuff's been done. Okay. You know, as far mm-hmm. as the some of those bigger risks earlier on have already been taken care of, you know, in a big way. But we're partnering with developers, and one specifically that we bought that other project from. But it adds a lot of value to he and us both. So, you know, we're able to, you know, operate the business side, raise the capital, all those things. But we'll still work with him on the development side, and we'll close actually when it's developed, when we have, you know, full occupancy, you know, of the project. And so it allows us to have, I mean, just an amazing amount of equity on day one, but also allows him to not have to finance as much initially also.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome. And makes a lot of sense, you know, in the right market with the right partners, asset class doesn't have to be scary or intimidating, or it's not necessarily risky just because of the asset class that it is, in this case, development.
Yeah, I would not do development just anywhere. I'll just put that out there. You know, that's not something I would pursue just anywhere. I mean, Boise had like 11 vacant units in the entire market in January or something crazy. You know, I mean, it's
yeah,
it's
totally. Boise's insane.
Yeah,
for sure. I want to take a minute to circle back to a little bit about what you kind of went through. Because I mean, I've heard your story a couple times now, and I think it's important, you know, what we talk about making a life change. And you obviously went through a period of intensity and really giving it your all and not necessarily having a lot left over. So I'd love to just hear you talk about that, because it's important, I think, for people to know that, you know, yes, it can be, it's achievable, but also sometimes it's important to like get through a tough part. So would love to hear your take.
Just during the tough times, you mean, like what, how we did that, or?
Well, like what you actually did, you know, with like your, you know, working full time, doing your podcast, not seeing your kids, et cetera.
Yeah. So during that time when I bought that small house in town and I built that office in the basement, that was some of our hardest times as a family. But I would also say that we did have a mission, and we also had to paint that vision of where we're going, even for our children, right? Maybe it looks a little different, what, you know, how we're painting it for them, or but trying to help them to see where we're going to. But, you know, one thing I'm not proud of is that my boys knew they wouldn't see me, their dad, until like Sunday, most weeks, even though I'm in the house every day. I mean, it was that crazy. Yeah. And so that, you know, like I would be in the office sometimes at 5 a.m. till 7 in the morning, taking calls. Believe it or not, there are some investors who will schedule calls that early in the morning, but I would leave that open to schedule calls with investors or catch up on email or talk with our team. I had 4 or 5 virtual assistants from all over the world that were helping produce my podcast at the time. And, you know, in Mondays, yes, they knew that I, like there was 2 Mondays a month that I was off work from my federal agent position. And they knew I had to have 12 to 15 shows scheduled that day. I would also be interviewed on other people's shows, also take calls. I mean, we called it my marathon day because it was just hard as I could go. I would stand behind the desk all day long. It was just madness, right? But I would miss most meals, you know, with the family yeah. as well, except for maybe Saturday night or Sunday if I wasn't traveling to a conference. It was just as hard as we could go. But also, one thing I did not anticipate was really how hard, you know, my wife was going to have to work also. And, you know, especially after a year and a half in, 2 years in, you know, of her doing everything in the home, everything. Like I was not in the home. I mean, it was horrible. I would not advise it to everyone, you know, to do it that way because it was extremely intense for all of us. And one of the hardest parts too is, you know, like sitting down there in the basement, it was an older house, had that little window, you know, up there in the top right, where you could just barely see out. I'd be working, doing interviews all day long.
Yeah.
And I would see my boys, you know, playing in the backyard. And that was almost the hardest part because I couldn't be out there playing with them, right? I had to remember our mission, had to keep focused. That was some of the hardest stuff. You know, it's just, I mean, I missed a lot, right? You know, over that time. But now I get to make my schedule, right? Things have changed in a big way, right? I mean, I haven't worked, you know, a federal agent position for almost a year, or just right at a year now, almost exactly. And now I get to make my schedule, right? Our team is growing. We have more amazing people. I mean, we're hiring more just class A talent all the time. And so we're even performing, we're doing things better than I ever could have because of the team growth and because of the skill sets that they have. Because of that, those hard times, that's allowed us to do that now. You know, I did meet up my business partner as well, who had very complementary skill sets. So it allowed me to focus on my skill sets and him. And that just allowed us to move very fast once we got started.
Yeah, there's a lot there. And just want to circle back on some of that. But just to highlight something, you know, you said, I mean, like, I think your story about what you went through to get to where you are in real estate is probably the most kind of like sacrifice story that I've heard, you know, not seeing your kids any day but Sunday. And, you know, that's very intense. How did you get through that period? I mean, I know you had the vision and the mission, but I think that would be, even with a vision and mission, like still seems like it would be hard.
The only thing I can say is that the Lord sustained my wife and I, yeah. Honestly. I mean, like that is, that's it. I mean, we look back at it now and we're just like, oh, you know, Lord, you know, thank you that you sustained us, because otherwise I don't know how we did it. I think honestly too, just that my wife and I, I think we're stronger now because of it as well. But I would also add, like, we were purposeful about that morning time as well, you know, about being up early. That's when my wife and I could reconnect. That's when we would be able to talk about our week, talk about what's happening, you know, what I'm doing for the week, you know, when I can be there, things, where I'm going, things like that. But just really reconnect, right?
So before 5 a.m.
That's right. Yeah, or at 5 a.m., depending on if I had called or not, right? Okay. We were up, you know, right at 5 or before almost every day.
Yeah.
And that's when we would pray together or read together or, you know, spend time together talking about the kids or the week, whatever. And that was so important, right? So important that we were able to keep doing that. But only because the Lord sustained us are we still breathing, I think.
So. Yeah, for sure. No, that's really important. And I mean, it's just, it's an incredible story. So thank you for the inspiration. Yeah. And then you also were touching on the importance of partnership. And I mean, there's so much still that we have to touch on starting your day and the importance of partnership. How about we start with how you start your day? Because I know that's something that you're very passionate about.
Yeah. So, you know, before all that happened that I even, well, before we even got into commercial real estate, I read The Miracle Morning, right? And I remember reading that book.
Yeah.
And not that I follow every step in that, but more than anything, it made me think about how I'm spending my time in the morning. Like, am I being purposeful with that time, right? And so I started getting up early. It's not going to be perfect in the beginning, right? Mine is still not perfect. It's changed many times. You just have to be willing to give it some effort and then be willing to change as well and to improve it as you go, right? Done is better than perfect. So you have to get started. And so for me, it was like, okay, I've got to make myself get out of bed. I've got to be up early and really think through how I'm spending that time. I would spend 30 minutes maybe reading the word and praying. And then I might have another 30 minutes of specific business related book or real estate related book that I'm reading. You know, I would also drink coffee in the morning, bulletproof coffee, by the way. And so I've done that for a long time, but then probably some time of exercise, usually that may be 20 to 30 minutes if I can. Then at that point though, it was time to get ready for work for federal agent stuff and get going. But now we still do that. My morning still looks very similar to that, except now sometimes I ride horses at like 6 or 6:30 in the morning as well. So, but
nice. I love that you're back to the horses too.
Believe it or not, my best horse I ever sold, we just bought him back about a month ago. So, but pretty amazing story there in itself. But all that to say, when I started getting up early and being very purposeful when with my time, like things started to change, right? I'm educating myself. And so it's those small things that most people say, oh, that's not going to help. But you know, one day is not going to help.
Yeah.
But it's that consistency over like 6 months, man, you have read so many more books than you would have otherwise, right? You've learned so much. You've grown so much more than you would have. It's those daily, it's those small things that add up, you know, so much. Yeah. That was before we even started the commercial real estate stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I hope you all are listening to this. I mean, The Miracle Morning is obviously like an important book for so many entrepreneurs. And it's just a theme that you hear from all the successful people. And it's easy to talk about. It's not easy to do. It's easy to think, oh, that would be nice. But to actually commit to doing it and doing it day in and day out. And, you know, of course, it's going to change and it's not going to be perfect. But still, that commitment is, it's so important for, and if you want to make a big change in your life, like what better way than to start your day out thinking about the change that you want to make or just journaling or whatever it is that's going to be supportive for you in that moment. So, and then now I wanted to touch on the partnership, because that's obviously been an important part of your growth. So can you speak to that a bit?
Sure. So, you know, as you start growing your brand, as you start, you know, really specializing in something in our business. So syndication, commercial real estate, it is a team sport, as we all talk about. Some people think they're going to do it all themselves in the beginning. And man, you're going to get so bogged down. I was bogged down enough, you know, by what I was doing. But I think one thing that really helped me was that I said, you know what? I can't do it all. I'm going to build a team. I'm going to focus on what I'm really good at, right? And what energizes me. So as I started to do that, started growing LifeBridge Capital, the brand, the awareness, what we're doing, what we're about, and then started having the ability to raise a lot of money, right? So then lots of people are coming to us, you know, saying, hey, I'd love for you to raise for our deal. Hey, I would love for you to do this. I'd love for you to partner with us over here. And I said, no. Okay. I was very picky about who I was going to partner with. It's so important. I had spent way too much time, just what we've been talking about, spending way too much time, money, and energy to just go partner with the wrong person and just throw it away, right? I just was not, it was not worth it, you know, to make a quick dollar over here. And so I was not going to do that. Said no. But finally, you know, I partnered with one person on a couple projects, which that helped me to get started. It also helped my investor base to see me doing bigger deals than what I'd done in the past, right? But then I was at a conference and I was introduced to a guy, Sam Russ, my business partner. Of course, I didn't know that then, you know, but we were introduced. And immediately, I could see just a lot of ability that Sam had. I could see that he, you know, we had just lots of things in common, just things we believe about being integrous and our family and our goals for our families and just the importance of family and you know, and just being integrous, right? I mean, it was a big deal for me to find that person. But also, while we had a lot of similarities, we had a lot of complementary skill sets. He had syndicated a small project by himself. I'm like, okay, there's not many people that have done that. That shows me some drive, some ability. He had a background in business. He graduated college at 17. I'm like, okay, not just everybody does that, you know? So there were numerous things that said, okay, you know what? Maybe he's the one.
Yeah.
And so long story short, at the last night of that conference, I just approached him and said, you know what, Sam, my wife and I have been praying for a business partner for a long time. I've said no to lots of people, but you seem to fit the bill. I would love for us to just to get to know each other, to see if it's a good fit, if that's something you're open to. And so he was excited about it. And so we just started communicating on a regular basis then. I actually flew back out to his house and stayed with he and his family for like 3 or 4 days. And that, I mean, you really get to know more about someone when you see how they interact with their spouse or their children, or it's very valuable, right? I mean, we called references. We talked to so many people because it was such an important decision to say, I mean, it's like a marriage, right? And that's the way we treated it.
Yeah.
And so that was the level of due diligence that we did. And it has, and actually we partnered on the first project, not saying we're going to do this forever, but just to test the waters as well. And it went very well. It's gone. And after that, we said, you know what, this makes a ton of sense. And it has. We have just taken off because of his ability, the relationships with brokers and deal sourcing that he was doing, but no network, right? No ability to raise money, you know, an investor base where I'd been working on that for a long time and had that ability. So then, I mean, our first deal was $19 million, I think, and the next one was 28 or 9 million, you know, so that doesn't happen too often. I realize that, but you know, the Lord really blessed our relationship and partnership and just ability. And like we said earlier, just sustaining my wife and I to keep pushing forward.
For sure. Well, that's really awesome. I totally understand the importance of being really picky with that partnership, like who you're going to basically marry yourself in business.
That's right.
So important. So thanks for sharing so many important pearls of wisdom and just your story, Whitney. It's very inspiring. And hopefully lots of the listeners will have things to take away from the show. So why don't you tell us how the listeners can get a hold of you and we'll wrap up.
Of course. Go to lifebridgecapital.com. You can email me, Whitney@lifebridgecapital.com, or you can call or text me at 540-585-4338.
Awesome. Well, I hope you all check out Whitney's podcast, reach out to him with questions. And thank you so much again for coming on the show. We'll see you next time.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts, and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-C-A-P.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.